Last week, Peter did a lesson on freedom, as we talked about that whole point of last Sunday was to collect money to kind of set people free, obviously, to help people who are oppressed. So I thought we'd do that again a little bit this week, because freedom's a great topic. You know, depending on your circumstances and when or where you grew up, the word freedom would have meant a lot to you. You know, I mean, right now they say that the 27 million people live in slavery, in some sort of slavery. Wow. People have debated that figure, but whether it's because of debt or fraud or just circumstances, but some people, you know, that's the figure that's been quoted. You know, if you look up the word slavery as an example, as the opposite to freedom, throughout our generation, throughout our centuries, people have been slaves. Paul even talks in the Bible that people were slaves, literally slaves. And he said, if you are a slave, if you can gain your freedom, do so. But he says, but if you are, you know, treat your masters as if you're serving Jesus. That was Paul's attitude if you're a slavery. You know, you've seen sometimes in the US, you know, the southern states, but there was all around Africa and there were slave traders. If you saw the movie, I think it was called Armistead. Is that right? Armistead? Armistead. Incredible movie. And what you saw in that movie was just the tip of the iceberg. And I went to ask Sam this. Who was that American guy? It wasn't John Adams, was it? Was it the guy who fought against
slavery?
Yes. In the US. Who was that politician who fought against all that? No, 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 in America. No, not Wilberforce. Wilberforce. Oh, it was England. Sorry, England. Yeah. Sorry, yes, right. Yeah. Same thing, England, America. Sorry for all those Americans out there. We know how you feel. But yeah, Wilberforce, who fought against that. But if you saw that movie, you know, the horrific things, the conditions these people were put under, and sometimes when they couldn't feed them, they'd chain them all together and throw them overboard, and their weight would take them all to the bottom of the ocean. And that sort of stuff happened. And I always think that whatever Hollywood portrays, you need to magnify that a fair bit to get to reality, the reality of it. But, and of course, back then, if you lived in those sort of conditions, the word freedom would have meant a lot to you. And for some of them, the word freedom was something, such a distant thing, they probably didn't even think about it, because the reality for it was so huge to even think about. You know, people have lived that way. You know, the dictionary, Webster's dictionary word for slavery is drudgery or toll or toil. And I think for us in our lives, you know, when you think about the whole concept of freedom, and, you know, with the fact that in Isaiah chapter 61, let's turn there for a second. Peter looked at this last week, but in Isaiah chapter 61, I'm just going to do a bit of an intro here on freedom, talk about a few things, and then close the lesson out on just one point. But in Isaiah chapter 61, and this is Jesus quotes out of this, and probably in the as far as a verse on freedom concerned the Bible, this is probably a very famous verse. In Isaiah 61, the Bible reads, "The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour." And when you look at all that verse in context, you know, Jesus says the whole idea that they would come, that Jesus would come and proclaim freedom for the prisoners. So obviously, as a Jew, if you're reading this, the whole idea was releasing the captives, that they would have thought that, hey, that the Messiah is going to come and release us from this Roman captivity. They would have thought that. And really, Jesus was talking about something much deeper than that. He was talking about releasing us from our sin, setting us free in our lives. So we're no longer slaves to something else, but slaves to God and slaves to freedom in a good sense of the word. And when you look at the second half of that, he says this freedom, when they have this freedom, he's going to bestow on them a crown of beauty. To me, when you read these verses, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair, they'll be called oaks of righteousness. I believe when we're truly set free the way God wants us to be set free, this is what we become.
Mm.
We have this oil of gladness instead of despair. This whole idea that we become oaks of righteousness. You know, when I think about an oak, I mean, an oak is a massive tree.
Yep.
If you've seen an oak, it's a huge tree. It's a splendorous tree. It's a glorious tree. You look at it and you think, man, this thing is huge. Look at its splendor. That's what we become.
Yeah.
That's what we become when we understand freedom from the context of what God wants us to understand freedom. I've got a few free freedom quotes I want to share with you this morning.
Come on, mate.
This is from a guy named Peter Marshall. I don't know who he is. But he's in this. If you look up freedom quotes, he's one of them. May we think of freedom. Does anyone know Peter Marshall?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, gee. All right. I was convinced this guy got on there by default, but he actually deserves to be there. May we think of freedom not as the right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to do what is right. Vernon Howard. People know him? Anyone know Vernon Howard? Don't put up your hand, please. Don't say you know. If someone knows Vernon Howard, you must be like over 400 years old. No, no. Our freedom can be measured by the number of things we can walk away from.
Mm. Yep.
Interesting. Those who expect Thomas Paine. You know Thomas Paine? Yep, Peter knows Thomas Paine. That means Gail must as well.
No, I don't know.
I don't know you personally know him, but
go way back.
I mean, have you heard? Okay. Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Are these two? Should I have these up on the screen?
Yeah.
Would be good. It's my fault. And Voltaire. Is that how you say that?
Voltaire.
Or Voltaire. Who's heard of Voltaire? Yeah, come on. I haven't. Anyway. It is. Okay, this is what Voltaire said. Is he French?
Yeah.
Has to be with a name like Voltaire. I reckon my mum should have called me Michael Voltaire Vassallo. Ooh. Instead of Albert. I don't know where Albert came from. Anyway, it is difficult to be free. Sorry, it is difficult to free fools from the chains they revere. Ooh. Interesting, isn't it? What we enslave ourselves in, you know what I mean? The chains we put around ourselves. And then Jean Paul Sartre, is that right?
Jean-Paul.
Oh, that Frenchies, man.
That's right.
They're all little I shouldn't say that. I want to say anything that I don't want to say anything. Anyway. Jean Paul Sartre. But it's spelled S-A-R-T-R-E.
I know.
Okay, fair enough. Freedom, okay, go on, hang on. Freedom is what you do with what's been done to you. Okay? And here's a quote from a very famous guy, Mike Vassallo.
Yeah! I know him!
I did. I wrote his song. I did.
I woke up this morning, I said, I need to put my name on this. You can't find me on Google, but you've got to get it today. There I am, I wrote it down, Mike Vassallo. Okay.
You ready? See if it matches the Sartres and the Voltaires. Sartre, okay. Well, Sartre, as far as I'm concerned. Because compared to my quote, his quote's going to be Sartre. It's this. Oh, this is bad. I've really built this up now. This could flop really badly. You ready? I want to tell you now. I want to tell you now. When I wrote this, I was so arrogant and proud. So if it comes across as this is bad, man. I don't think I can do it. My heart's beating too fast. this is shocking. I'm really built. This is terrible. I'm lost. I've gone. Okay. Okay. You can be a slave and be free. And be free and still be a slave. And then, the most famous of all, from the movie Braveheart.
Yes.
They may take our lives, but they will never take away our freedom. Anyway, that's it. Get the freedom quotes. That wasn't so good. You clapped more about mine. I appreciate that. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. I just wasted about 20 minutes on that. That's ridiculous. I need to. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It said, it is for freedom. Galatians 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And you'll go on, and obviously the context of that, because Paul will go and say, so if you guys go ahead and circumcise yourselves, then you're still a yoke and a slave to the law in some sense, which Jesus set us free from. You know, but obviously, when Jesus, there's two concepts going on there. I think there's the law that these guys want to yoke themselves back to instead of grace through Christ. But then there's also, when Paul will talk about being set free, that we want to be free from sin. And the things that burden us, the things that enchain us. And I do like that quote that, you know, it's hard. What was that quote? It's difficult to free fools from the chains they revere. Isn't it amazing that you can't free someone when they want to be chained by something which is, you don't really want to be chained to, but we chain ourselves to ridiculous things at times. And we're here today to talk. And let me tell you now, I'm not going to do the concept of freedom justice today. I will not. You need to go away and think about this seriously for your life, because I believe if we really are set free the way Christ wants to set us free and the way we need to be free, it will radically change your life. Radically change your life. Because I know for me, I want that freedom. There are so many things I want freedom from in some sense. You know, if Jesus came to set us free, then obviously the whole concept that we are slaves to something, we're locked up by something. John 8:31-32, to the Jews who said to the Jews who believed in Jesus, Jesus said, hey, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Of course, you've got to want to be free. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus says, not the healthy. I haven't come to call the healthy or the righteous, I've come to call the sinners. It's the unhealthy who require a doctor. The question is today, do you see yourself as free or needing to be free? If you already see yourself as free, then this is not going to help you. But if you say, man, I need to be free,
amen,
then this is going to help you. So you have to decide where you're at right now. If you could snap your own fingers today and free you of something, what would it be? If I could free you of something, what would it be? Now, please avoid things like spouse. You don't want to go down that path. Maybe you might think, just one thing, okay? What's the most important thing to you? What would you like to be free of? Maybe it's debt. How many of you would think, man, maybe there's a lot of, I know there's a lot of students here with big loans, student loans, you think, man, just, I wish the government would say, no more student debt, your degree's free. How would awesome that be?
Yes.
Awesome. See? Maybe you want to be free from work. Maybe it's free from responsibility. Maybe you'd like to be free from the past.
Yep, come on.
Something that's happened to you that you just can't shake, you know, kind of molds you, it just sticks to you. You can't seem to shake it. And there's some of us always have a bit of that. There's always somewhere in a lot of us where shape or what happens to us. Don't you want to be free from those things that have hurt you, that have hindered you? I think we do. For me, if you spoke to me 6 months ago and said, man, I'll be free from this anxiety, it was painful, it was hurtful, it was hard. 5 years before that, I would have said, I'll just go have a prayer. Just don't think about it. Easier said than done. When you have the true form of an anxiety that alters you in some form or fashion. Maybe it's depression. Man, I wish I could be free from just feeling low and down. I just have no motivation, no drive. I don't want to feel that way. Maybe if you're a teen here, where are the teenies? Okay, teenies, give us a bit of noise. Okay, what if I call you? Don't call you teenies, but I just call you teens. Okay, where are the teens? You need to make some noise for them. Maybe if you're a teen, you might say, doing homework. But then again, let's take it one step further and going to school. Maybe it's cleaning your room.
Yep.
How many of you wish you could be free? Maybe some adults should talk to some adults here as well. How many of you wish you could be free from cleaning your room? All sorts of things. Fear, pride, pressure. We could go on and on. And what would you like to be free to do in an opposite context? What would you like to be free to do in a, sorry, not opposite context, but in a spiritual context? If I gave you that, what's something you'd like to be free to do as a Christian more effectively? Maybe it's giving. Maybe you don't have a giving heart. Maybe you know it. You're just kind of reserved and you don't give. Maybe you struggle with giving of yourself, giving time, giving money. Maybe be more expressive. I always think as a church, you know, as disciples, I think we just need to be most expressive people going around. I think we'd be loving and hugging and just, you know, embracing. And but unfortunately, some of us, you know, we go to hug each other, you know, you might as well just have an ironing board there or a piece of wood. You know, I've been joking around with Michelle. It's a good thing Lee's not here today. But I can say, he doesn't listen to the message, does he? But it's been really great, you know. Lee's coming along and he's a good man. He's a good man. And you know, the other day, he was at church the other day, wasn't he? Last, the Freedom Week. And I was standing there and I just went up to him. I don't know, I was just in the moment. I just put my arm around him, but I just didn't let go. And I was wondering how he was feeling. And Michelle was standing there going, oh man, I just couldn't believe it. He was just standing there, and yesterday, you know, he was at Paul's 40th, and I gave him a hug, and he gave me a hug, and he pointed, he said, hey, I gave you a hug, yeah! But, you know, that's the way we need to be.
Amen.
We shouldn't be intimidated. You know what, if you want to be a board, I'll hug you. I'm happy to hug the board. But I think some of us, we need to be free to be so much more expressive in our lives. That's what the world needs to see. We're so governed by what people think about us. We are. We're governed. We go out there in the world and we see everyone as stiff as boards and people are unfriendly and they're into their own little worlds and all they have is things sticking in their ear or they're looking at things all day. I don't know where the world's heading, but you know, we need to change that culture, people. That's what we're about. And sometimes we need to be free to give more. Maybe you need to apply that to your marriage. Be more expressive in your marriage. You know, what is it you need to be free to do more and be better in your marriage? Don't use your upbringing. Well, I never saw my father that way. I never saw my mother that way. I never saw, you know. I know that. I've used that many times. Cam will say, honey, you need more expressive. Well, my dad just, you know, we're just a huggy family. We don't talk. We do everything by hug. We don't talk much. We don't say it. And it's true. I grew up that way. It's where I got it from. But expression wasn't big. I've got to tell you. My mum would say she loved me. My dad would say, I want to just strangle you. And he had a right to, by the way. I need to be choked, for sure. No question about it. Maybe it's to be more bold in sharing your faith. Don't you wish you were freer to share your faith?
Amen.
You know what I mean? Without the inhibitions, you know, without all the stuff that goes on in here, watch when you're trying to think about sharing your faith. Yeah. You know what I mean? It is, right? It's just, it's a mind game. It's what goes on in here that stops you from being more expressive. Wouldn't you love to be free like Christ was free.
Amen.
You know, we think boldness comes from courage. You know, boldness comes from humility. Think about that. Because a lot of our hang-ups to do with how we speak and what we say is what people think about us, and there's nothing humble about that. That's just a lot of pride. You know, Jesus, I look at Jesus, Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself and became obedient to death on the cross. You're not going to get any more humble than Jesus, and you know what? You're not going to get any more bold than Jesus at the end of the day. That's the way he was, free, you know, to be that way. Why is humility so important? Here's my point I want to talk about today. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm sure it's 12 o'clock. Oh, 11:58. 1 Peter chapter 5. Of course, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible will say, a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. So what's mastering you today? 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, it says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He, and I want to emphasize that He, may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. You know, my only point I want to bring up, and this is not in no order of what I believe is more important as I say this, but what I want to talk about briefly is humility, freedom coming through humility. That I really believe if we're going to be set free the way God wants us to, it needs to come with a real sense of humility. And like I said, you could say, hang on, what about faith? And what about grace? And what about... Sure, and I don't deny those things. And I'm not saying one's more important. But for me, what I want to talk about today, because I think this is more, for me in my life, something I've been really working on and I want to continue to work on, is to really be humble. Because I'm proud. My default is pride. And it shows up in many different ways. But why is humility so important? You know, the Bible says here that God opposes the proud. That's enough right there, right? God opposes us if we are proud, but not if we're humble. But He gives grace to the humble. And it says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift us up. And I like that because too many times we want to be lifted up and we want to do our own lifting up. Yes. We want to elevate ourselves instead of allowing God to lift us up. It's that sense of having that humble disposition. You know, why is humility so important? Because humility equals vulnerability.
Yes.
Humility equals vulnerability. And how vulnerable are you? And if you're not vulnerable, then it means you're holding back. And if you're holding back, you're not letting God in. Humility equals transparency. That you're transparent. And that you may say, aren't they the same? Well, yes, I guess they are. Just another way of saying the same thing. To be vulnerable. What does to be vulnerable mean? Well, to be open. Don't be afraid. You've got nothing to hide. And then humility for me is also an emptying of self. That we empty ourselves. Because the opposite of that is all about what people think. And what people think matters too much. I know for me one of my biggest issues is what people think. Something I've got to fight all the time. What people are thinking. You know, sometimes I work too hard at trying to come across the right way or giving off the right impression or whatever. And it's not about that. That's not humble anymore. I'm not going to be free to be what God wants me to be. But more importantly, I'm not going to be free for God to mold me what He wants me to be. Because I'm it's all about me at that point. You know, if we don't have that humility, we don't let the light in our lives, we don't let God in our lives. I think too many times we are so guarded as a people. We're so guarded with what people think. So much so that when it comes to helping each other change and help each other grow in Christ, we're so consumed. You know, we find it hard to talk to each other, right? I think we do. We find it hard to really just let it all out. This is what's going on. Welcome people into our lives and sometimes even say things that we need to say. Be it encouraging or maybe not so encouraging. But you know what? When you're humble, when you have that sense of humility, it's not a problem to bring things up because you may be wrong and they may not take it well. They may stick it back in your face. And if it does, bad luck. The humble person's not worried about that. The humble person's not worried about what comes back. They're happy to be trodden on. Jesus was happy to be crucified. He was happy to be scorned at the end of the day. But do we, if we're going to really be free, it really does come through a sense of humility. You know, I love Jesus' humility. It was powerful. There's nothing more powerful. Well, that's not true. Love's powerful. Faith is powerful. Humility is powerful. You know, I've said this before, you know, but how do you humiliate a humble person? How do you humiliate a humble person? Well, the truth is, you can't. You can't humiliate a humble person. That's why they tried to humiliate Jesus. All he had was love in his heart. Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. That's humility. You know, I think at times and I say this because when we speak, you know, if we've got something to say, sometimes we speak in anger or self-righteousness or frustration. You know, we teach people to speak the truth with each other in love, but you know what? The first step to doing that is humility. And if we can empty ourselves and be free from the world and be free from how we look or what matters, what people think or don't think, who we are or not are, it doesn't matter. We think, oh, but who's going to listen to me? Look at me. Look who I am. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're humble, the focus is not you. The focus is there. That's why I've got to work so much more on humility in my life. Because the focus can be too much about this instead of God in heaven. And that's why it makes all the difference.
Yeah.
You know, let God do the lifting. Let God lift you up and not in our own eyes. You know, there are so many things I love about the Melbourne Church. So many things I love about the Melbourne Church. And you know, I've got to tell you, and it's family and it's loving and I love being here. But you know what? I want us to work on being more humble. So what are you saying? We're proud? Okay. Is that the right response? What are you saying? I'm saying work at really being humble. Work at the freedom that comes through humility. Work at being like Christ. No inhibitions. Be free. Think about what you're enslaved to. Think about what you want to be free from. Understand that God wants to set you free from that very thing. And then think about what you want to be free to do. And hopefully, it's to serve God. Hopefully, it's to serve His kingdom. And that you're free to do that very thing. Let's not use our freedom, the freedom that God has given us, to indulge ourselves. But to truly serve God and His kingdom. And we'll see many more of us change, and in doing so, change many more in the process. Thanks for listening. Amen.